I've been doing lender work for a very long time, and it took me a while to realize that I needed a closing checklist for virtually every transaction, even the vanilla transactions that I used to do in great quantities. But now the transactions are much more complicated. We have various credit facilities. We've got different types of loan, different types of collateral. Frequently, some of these transactions may take months, if not sometimes longer. Lots of moving parts, and many lenders, counsel, or most are working on a number of transactions at the same time. So as a transaction is put on hold for a while and then it's resuscitated, a closing checklist, an accurate closing checklist that tells you what has been satisfied, what is outstanding, is a lifesaver. That's really the only way to keep us all on track. Another thing, I mean, many of us have great teams with whom we work, and it's great to delegate the work of preparing the closing checklist to an assistant or to a younger lawyer on our team, and that's all fine and good, but the primary lawyer in charge has got to be reviewing, revising, knowing what's on the closing checklist, because it's the lead lawyer's responsibility to make sure that everything is right. So my paper is very short, only 7 pages, but behind it are a number of appendices. So in terms of following along in the book, you can either jump straight to those appendices and kind of take a look. My favorite one that I use more often is the first appendix. That is easier for me to use. I'm much more conversant with it. I do have some lender clients who prefer the second version.